now fine. Fine, oh, you turn out fine. But you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. You gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. I know it's hard. Good evening and welcome to the Carolyn Holt Show. I love that song, You Gotta Keep Your Head Up, because that's true. You gotta keep your head up. And you know what? You also have to call. If you want to talk to us about love tonight, that's what we're talking about. It's all about love. You can feel free to join the conversation at area code 323-293-3375. Again, that's area code 323-293-3375. Now, before we get into tonight's show, I just want to acknowledge a few things. On last Thursday was the memorial and celebration for the initial co-host for this show, Dr. Norma Scarborough. And I tell you, it was a beautiful celebration of life. It was a beautiful memorial, a beautiful tribute by her family, her friends, and her colleagues. And I just wanted to acknowledge that because she was such a fine woman, and it was on full display at the memorial services. Also, another thing I wanted to mention especially for the people who live here in Southern California and in particular Los Angeles. Today, I attended the Pan-African Film Festival. And my, there are just some wonderful films out there that you should go and see. And today, I watched a documentary on the bass player Nathan East. Now, Nathan has been around a long time. He's played with every star known, but he himself is such an humble and wonderful person, and the documentary, it was such a feel-good tribute to Nathan. So if you get the opportunity, please attend the Pan-African Film Festival here in Los Angeles, because it's an awesome experience, and I think you'll really enjoy yourself. Okay? Well, tonight, we still have with us Dr. James Key, and tonight we're going to be talking about love. I tell you, I know that most of us believe that we have some understanding and we have some thoughts about love, but Dr. Key is going to share again from a new book that he's writing that examines love. So, Dr. Key, are you there?
I am here, Carolyn, and it's good to certainly be back with you this evening to talk about love.
Yes, because it's all about love. As a matter of fact, that's what Earth, Wind, and Fire said that. They made a song about it.
That's correct. The great Maurice White.
Yes.
May he rest in peace. But yes. Certainly, Earth, Wind, and Fire had a number of songs about love, from Reasons. It's the one that comes to my mind. And one of the things Maurice White often said in his music, you've got to learn to love yourself.
So yes.
We're going to miss Maurice White, but the music certainly will last forever.
Yes. Well, I tell you, when you think about love songs, Earth, Wind, and Fire is right there along with Barry White and just Luther Vandross, you know, just many, many people. But I think sometimes the songs of love can get us into trouble because it sounds good. And man, you can really feel great after hearing a love song. But that's not quite the essence of what perhaps true love or real love or love, period, is sometimes about. So tell us about what this new information that you have on love in your new book. Tell us about what we might learn about love.
Well, you know, well, Carolyn, what you know, first of all, when you talk about love, there's a certain level of transparency that one has to be able to do, and yes. that can be a challenge. But love is an important subject. Last week we were talking about race and all of its issues, and love certainly comes with its own good and bad stories, if you will. The yes. part two of my book, A Long Way from Crenshaw, looking at stories and lessons that focus on race, love, honor, and faith. In part two, or section two, I title it Love Will Find a Way. And I look at stories of my own journey and just information about relationships and love. Because if the truth, you know, is told, we all want to be in a relationship with someone. You know, we're designed by our Creator to want to be in relationship with someone. And we feel complete, we feel at our best when we're in a meaningful relationship.
Okay.
Some of the things I talk about is was one section in this section of the book, part two, is that love is, I define it as being an everlasting roller coaster ride. The thrill of a roller coaster. You have the highs uh-huh. and you have the lows.
Okay.
And love will promise you the moon and the stars. Love will take you to the highest mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
Love will take you to that mountaintop. And in that moment of joy, you'll feel as if you're an arm's reach away from heaven's gate. That's what love will do. It
okay.
has the power to take you higher and higher. Love will give you butterflies. Love will give you hope. Love will make you sing a new song.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same like manner, like a roller coaster ride, love will take you down to the valley and to a place called hurt and pain.
Okay.
Love will destroy hope. Love will make you feel unhappy. Love will make you cry. But the good news is that even if love takes you down to the valley, there's often a lily in the valley there to brighten your joy. There's a lily in the valley to give you hope again. There's a lily in the valley to make you smile again.
Okay.
There's a lily in the valley to restore your hope. And once again, make you desire to get on the roller coaster of love one more time, because we enjoy the feeling of being in love.
Well, I would agree with that. And I tell you, listen, if you want to know more about love, I want you to call me at area code 323-293-3375. Again, that's 323-293-3375. Because as you just heard Dr. James say, it's all about love, and love has some wonderful aspects, and love has some challenging aspects. And I think if you pay attention to what he's saying, we might can get to some common ground regarding love. Because, you know, men and women, they don't always see love the same way.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge. So what would you offer Dr. James in terms of, especially being a man, something perhaps about love that women don't understand from the perspective of a man?
Well, you know, and I'm going to generalize here for a second and say that in a lot okay. of ways, you know, men and women are wired differently. There have
yes.
been all kinds of books that speak to this issue.
Yes.
And the challenge, you know, there's one theory that suggests during the course of a day that women, by and large, use more words than men.
Yes, so, I would agree with that.
Yes. Let's just say theoretically that women use 2,500 words and men use about 1,500 words. Well, guess what? By the end of the day, guess who's out of words? The man is.
Okay.
And so when the woman asks, you know, the man, how was your day, honey? How are you feeling? Tell me about your day.
Uh-huh.
She may get a lot of one-word answers from the man because he's out of words. All the talk he's gonna all the language and all the words he is inclined to use he's pretty much tapped out by the end of the day.
Oh, okay.
And on the other hand, the woman has more conversation, more words to use. And so the challenge for both men and women is to first understand the differences.
All right.
To the extent that you understand the differences, then you're able to find the common ground that you're talking about.
Okay.
But if you don't understand those differences, you might think that the man is not interested, that he doesn't want to communicate with me, or he doesn't desire me, or he's mad at me, when really he very well just may not have a lot to say in the evening.
Okay.
Now that I'm generalizing here, but the point I'm trying to make is that we are wired differently, and the challenge for both men and women is to understand the differences. Mm-hmm. And then find a way to meet each other in the middle.
Okay. Well, I like that. And you know, you're right, especially about words, because we like the sound. You know, we really can erect a monument to just what we hear alone. Often when we hear the man talk to us, and if they sound a particular way, we can create perhaps something that was never said. So I do know that it is a fact about the issue of the words, because we love what it all sounds like. But I suppose that if there's no behavior to match what it sounds like, then we're perhaps in trouble. So how would you help women to gauge, as you said, that the lack of words has nothing to do with perhaps what the man feels or even what he thinks? So how would you suggest women go about gauging if they're getting few words, how to read that and how to perhaps react in a way that keeps you moving forward in love instead of perhaps creating an argument or upset?
I want to be intentional here and say that and I don't want to just put the onus just on the woman, that it's a two-way street. So
okay.
If, in fact, it's clear that if we use as our premise that men just, we use less words. If we just stay there for a second.
Okay.
And women use more, then both individuals have to be aware of that. So that means if I use less words, or I don't talk a lot in the evening because I'm tired, I want to just watch the game or watch the news or sit in the easy chair, a man has to be conscious of that and say, you know what? I need to stretch out. I need to pause for a second, and I need to engage.
Okay.
The woman, on the other hand, has to realize that he doesn't want to, you know, in the evening, he's just not too talkative. So I'm not going to try to talk him to death. I'm sensitive to the fact that that's not what he wants to do, but I'm willing to, but I do want to engage. So both individuals have to be aware of the difference and aware of how one another is wired, and be willing to meet each other at the halfway point.
Okay.
So that means a certain level of understanding. You know your significant other, and you should know your significant other well enough to know the hot buttons and the buttons not to push, and what you need to do to satisfy your partner, and vice versa. It's a two-way street, and both individuals have to work at it to make it work.
Okay, so communication is certainly
is
probably
is
the
key. That's right.
Okay. So these are things that you should certainly discuss and not just make assumptions
That's correct.
about.
That's correct.
Well,
And obviously, there are times when, you know, it's more than just not saying a lot of words in the evening. There could be other factors that could play into that. But by and large, you know, we're different in a lot of ways, but that's okay. It's okay to be different. We're made differently, and that's okay. Being different is not bad. It's actually good because men and women complement each other.
Yes.
And so we just have to kind of find the right music to dance to. And once you find the right music to dance to, your relationship will certainly be strengthened.
Yes.
And the days will be certainly, you'll have far more good days than you do bad.
That's right. Well, listen, keep your thought. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to start talk a little bit about the holiday that's coming up, Valentine's Day. Okay? Stay with us.
Yes.
We never spend time talking to you, so we figure we lay it on you, let you know how we feel about love. Paint a pretty smile each day. Loving is a blessing, yeah. Never let it fade away. It's all about love, yeah. Build yourself a true romance. Beauty that's around you, yeah. You deserve just one more chance, my dear, my dear. Let the light shine all through your mind. Fill your little heart aglow. Take the time, make up your mind. It's all about love, yeah. Talking to yourself is fine. Makes you feel much better. Know just where to draw the line, girl, my dear. Girl, my dear, oh, yeah, girl. Talk to me.
Wow, you know what? That song sends me back to my DJ days in college. I tell you, I feel like being a DJ before the night is over.
That's right. That's right. Yeah,
But that's a
that's one.
great song, though. It is all about love. At the end of the day, love really is what makes the world go round. So I have to agree with Earth, Wind, and Fire. It's all about love.
Yes,
All
yes.
right. Well, when we. Before the break, we were talking about love, and I wanted to introduce the holiday, Valentine's Day, which is coming up this Sunday. And with Valentine's Day comes a lot of expectations, and I think a lot of anxiety as well. And I have been talking to my friends, some of them who are in love and some of them who are not sure what's going to happen on Valentine's Day. And you know, and I that saddens me because I don't think we should have all of the anxiety about it. It is a holiday that tends to speak to the economy. And maybe not so much about love. So, what would you suggest to calm the nerves and the anxiety that people are facing, especially if they do have someone and if they don't?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why I titled part two of the book, Love Will Find a Way.
Okay.
And love will find a way. It will break through all the material things that sometimes cloud the mind, all of the insignificant stuff that interferes with relationship. Love has a way of penetrating, and love will find a way.
Okay.
There's another story about never say never. So hold on, because be patient. Don't, be so anxious that you settle for less. Don't mm-hmm. let loneliness force you into a bad relationship.
Oh, now, you need to say, now say that again.
Don't let loneliness uh-huh. force you into a bad relationship.
Okay.
And we're talking about music here, and there was a song that Whitney Houston wrote, saying, this was several years ago, and in the lyric, it says something, are you really ready for love, or is it just the lonely talking again?
Mm.
And sometimes the lonely will force us, or being lonely or loneliness will force us into a bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't lived unless you've been in a bad relationship. Before this life is over, you're going to be in a bad relationship. Let's just be clear. It
okay.
is an equal opportunity employer. And so I challenge everyone who's listening is to be patient, because love will find a way. It will break. Love has been with us since the beginning of time.
Yes.
Whether we find love in the neighborhood, we find love in the church, we find love at the office, we find love in the Bible. We can, pick up 1 Kings and read about Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, or go to Judges and read about Samson and Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
Love will find a way. So, again, I would say be patient, be careful, because, when we're looking for a relationship, there are some things that I use kind of as a rule of thumb when I'm talking to single soldiers or doing workshops.
Okay.
And that's kind of the dating process or the courting process. I mean, what's your process?
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing, if you're spiritual, you should pray about it.
Okay.
If you're a spiritual person, you
All
should
right.
at least, if you're looking, let's say you do not have, you're not in a relationship and you're searching, whether you're searching, online or searching by way of your friend trying to hook you up with someone, the first thing you should do is, if you're a spiritual person, is to pray about it.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, the second thing is, or the step, is the selection process. Is, choosing that individual, finding that individual, the selection process.
Okay.
And oftentimes, this is where we make the biggest mistake. We just select the wrong rascal to be with. And sometimes we select the wrong person because, again, the lonely is talking and you want to be in a relationship with someone, or because that person smells so good and I like the way that person looks, and we get caught up sometimes on the superficial. That's not to say, you shouldn't find someone that you are attracted to.
Okay.
But the selection process is very important. After the selection process, there's the romance stage. Big change there. You go from selection to romance, and then there's the conflict stage, when you're in conflict with that individual, and then the last stage is commitment, when you have worked your way through conflict because you know that both of you have realized that I want to be in relationship with this person, and I'm willing to meet this person halfway. I'm willing to work through our differences because I am in love with this individual, and I'm willing to make the certain sacrifices to move to this final stage called commitment.
Okay.
But it doesn't work if you're not coming at it with a certain level of honesty and transparency. And, you were just playing the song by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And in the middle of that song, there's, before we get into the hip hop era of today, in the early 70s, brothers were rapping too. And in the middle of this song, Maurice or whoever's doing the lead goes into this rap about that the first thing you have to do is love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you come out of a bad relationship, there's a period called healing time.
Mm-hmm.
And often, Carolyn, we don't spend enough time healing.
Okay.
That before you jump into another relationship, the first thing you have to do is heal from the wound that you experienced in the bad relationship. And once that wound heals and you begin to love yourself again,
okay,
now you're ready to, you know, experience love or the roller coaster ride of love all over it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So healing and loving yourself, that's very important. Now, you know, there's a website, I think it's eHarmony. And one of the things that appeared on the website was that there is at least 29 areas that you should be compatible in when choosing and selecting someone to love, that the intensity, I guess, of the relationship will last a lot longer if you are compatible in as many ways as possible. But I think that while compatibility is certainly a key factor, people go, as you said earlier, on some superficial things like what a person looks like, what they smell like, and how you feel in their presence.
That's
and
right.
I guess we can say then that this is not a good barometer in which to make a decision to fall in love.
This is why it goes back to, I was talking about the selection process. So mm-hmm. let's just say that you select the wrong person.
Okay.
All right? And you can be in a relationship with the wrong person and still have wonderful, you know, romantic moments.
Okay.
All right. But the problem comes when you get into the conflict stage.
Okay.
So now you're in conflict with someone that y'all not been with in the first place. You're in conflict with someone who's not a good match for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're in conflict with someone who doesn't compliment you and you don't compliment them. So now you're in the conflict stage of relationship and you're unable to work through the conflict because you really shouldn't have been with that person in the first place. And you never make it to commitment because
Ooh.
You selected the wrong rascal. We all are guilty, you know, of that.
So let me ask you this quickly then. If you're in the wrong, because sometimes people, they say, yes, I've been here a long time and he has not committed to me. It doesn't matter how many years that has been. Would you say that that is healthy? Or if it's working for you, go ahead and do it. But would you classify that as healthy if you've been there a long time and no commitment in terms of marriage has been
right.
made? Should you pack up and leave? Or?
Well, what? I mean, I think it's that person's prerogative to stay on the love train or to get off. I mean,
okay.
if you want to ride on the love train, knowing that there's no final destination.
All right.
You're just on the train riding.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what you want to do, and when I say final destination, that's it ends up in marriage.
Okay.
And you know that the person you're riding with is just not interested. Maybe they're just that's just not something they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You love the person, they love you. But if marriage is something you're looking for in that relationship, then you have to be clear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you can't be afraid to get off the train. See, a lot of people are afraid to get off the train because they're afraid they won't be able to get on another train. This is why I say in the book, love will find a way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always, you know, there's somebody out there for you. It just takes a little patience, a little understanding. But why endure a train ride that isn't going in the direction you want it to go in? I mean, in other words, would you get on a train? Every time I get on a train or a plane or a bus, I know my destination.
Okay.
I know where I'm going. So why wouldn't we apply the same rules in our relationship?
Okay.
You know, we compromise oftentimes in relationships because, oh, I don't want to be lonely. Or this person is just so beautiful. I just can't. I don't want anybody else to be with this person. Or I want companionship, and I'll take companionship, you know, at any cost, even if it is, even if it means I am in a situation that isn't going anywhere. But you know what? I'm not lonely, and so that's okay. These are decisions that we have to make as grown men and grown women. You know, mm-hmm. We got to put our big boy pants on and big girl pants on, and make adult decisions about our relationship. But you really do have to take ownership mm-hmm. of it, be intentional about what you want in that relationship, communicate those things to your partner, and make compromises. But certainly, if you are looking for, you know, the relationship to rise to a certain level, and you know, and the other person isn't there, then you got to make a decision.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, before we get to Valentine's Day and all of that, it's often that women, when they're past, say, between 30 and 40, when they are perhaps on a mission to get married and they begin dating, would you say that it is wise or even necessary to let that be known when they are out there dating early on in the initial phase of getting to know someone? Is that something they should bring up and let the man know that, listen, I am a woman of a certain age and I do want a committed relationship. I am looking to be married. I'm not trying to scare you off, but that is a goal. Is that received well, I guess, by men? Is that something that's a turnoff, or would it be considered fair to know this?
It depends on the man. I mean, for some men, it may send him running to the hills.
I've heard that. That's why I'm asking.
Running to the hills, running fast.
Yes.
Men feel like, you know what, there's always one more out there that, you know, or in the back of their mind, they're thinking, you know, you just never know. Halle Berry may call me tomorrow. And so there's some men who think that way.
Uh-huh.
But sure. On the other hand, there are men, you know, who are out there who are looking for the same thing mm-hmm. and want a meaningful relationship that is going to go someplace and lead to a happy place, and that happy place, you know, called marriage, and they're looking for that.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of you want to be clear about what you want, but you know, you don't want to put so much information out there that it's a turnoff, because you want the connection to first be made, and you want to get to know the individual as well.
Yes.
Before you put all your cards on the table.
I agree. And any information I've ever seen regarding dating and getting to know someone, the idea is to just have conversation and discover things. You're collecting data. So
right.
It's not necessarily necessary to demand so many things so soon. Just take your time to get to know a person. And allow them to get to know you.
That's right.
And
you know, we try to be, we all should be honest that we sometimes, the person who you initially go out with those first few dates, it may not be the actual person it may be his representative or her representative.
Well, that's what Chris Rock says. He says that they said.
That's what Chris Rock says. He's right about that. So once you get past the representative and or the stunt person, and get to the real deal individual, then you begin to, you know, figure out who's who and what's what. That's why the selection process, most of us make our mistake just selecting the wrong individual.
Okay.
There's no perfect match, let me say that. There's no perfect person out there.
That's right.
But there are individuals out there who you meet and you realize that both of you have come to the conclusion that I'm willing to make certain sacrifices Mm-hmm. Look past your shortcomings. You look past my shortcomings, and willing to invest in this relationship because I believe in you. You believe in me, and certainly if you're standing on a strong foundation through time, a foundation built on time, built on your faith, mm-hmm. and built on understanding, built on respect. These are to build a strong foundation and to ultimately build a relationship that will have some staying power. Mm-hmm. And time, and you're going to make mistakes along the way. You're going to be in love, out of love, and back in love again. But at some point, the love will be in the air as we get close to Valentine's Day. So I would just say to individuals, just to be patient. Love will find a way. It will show up. Shakespeare said it is better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all. Mm-hmm. So despite, some of the challenges that relationships certainly bring all of us, it's worth the roller coaster ride. It's worth the living in that moment. But you have to exercise a great deal of caution, mm-hmm. and patience at the same time.
I would agree. And I think that that's something that should be considered in terms of Valentine's Day, because I know many times when the expectation is one thing and you receive something that didn't meet your expectations, it can cause a problem. And with Valentine's Day coming, the expectation for especially women is, flowers, candy, dinner, perhaps. And that's okay. But in the event that they don't receive one of those items, because it is a holiday that comes with this,
yes.
Should the brother understand that he is in trouble?
Yes, he should understand. The brother should understand that if he doesn't work on the relationship throughout the entire year, this one day, he's put the work in. You should put the work in every day.
Yes, I agree with that.
But certainly on this particular day, you've got to put the work in.
Okay.
And you can't be lazy on this on a day that is infested with incentive to go big or go home.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's candy, flowers, sending them to the job.
Yes, that's a priority many times with women because they want you can give it to them at some other point, but they do like receiving it at the job so that they can let their coworkers know that, look, I'm in a serious relationship. My man cares about me. Sure. Look what he did. So it is important to do that. I think that's a overgeneralization, but I would say that it can't hurt.
Right.
The situation.
Can't hurt. Men have to put the work in. You got to work hard. You do.
Yes.
So that's important. That's important. And then it goes beyond, certainly Valentine's Day. It's a constant, I always talk about the love bank.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, the love bank. So, we have regular banks out there. We put money in the bank and, some of us have savings accounts and you put money in your savings account because at some point you come across hard times. You want to be able to make a withdrawal out of your savings account, right?
Okay.
Well, you can't make a withdrawal if you don't have anything in it. So the whole point of putting money away is I'm putting it away for a rainy day or I'm saving up for something. Well, it's the same thing in our relationships. The love bank is about making deposits. What kind of deposits?
Okay.
Compliments. Those shoes look nice. I love the dress that you're wearing. I love the hair. I love the congratulations on a job well done at work. These are deposits that you're making in the love bank. Why do you make those deposits in the love bank? Because at some point in that relationship, you're going to come across some hard times.
All right.
And it's great to know that you've made a lot of deposits in the Love Bank through kind words, kind mm-hmm. actions, whether you're cooking dinner or taking someone out on a date. So when those rainy days come, because they will come, it's good to know, it's nice to know that if you know that you've made a lot of positive deposits into the Love Bank, and now you can make a withdrawal because you've got something to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been a positive individual. You've been trying to do the right things.
Uh-huh.
And when the rainy day comes, maybe that person will have more understanding because you've been making positive deposits into the Love Bank.
Well, I like that. I have never heard of the Love Bank. I've not heard it described that way, but I really like that. And
yeah.
I think that our audience should take heed and listen to that. That's an excellent way to always be and stay in love. Is make a deposit. And if you want to call, and if you have a question or a comment or a thought about this subject of love, you can feel free to call us at area code 323-293-3375. Again, that's area code 323-293-3375. Now, one of the things that they say regarding Valentine's Day is the number one gift is flowers. And they say that it is the red rose that's the most important gift, because the red rose symbolizes love and passion and all the things, I guess, that are associated with being in love. And but the interesting fact is that the red rose is given most by people who are married and not single people. I was really surprised to find that out, because I'm thinking that, you know, if you really want somebody to know that you love them, you give them this red rose when you're trying to win them, I guess. But the research says that it is married people who understand this concept. And I think 73% of married men, this is the gift that they give, is the at least a dozen red roses.
Yes.
Yeah. So
that's interesting.
That's just food for thought, men.
Yeah.
You know, to keep things, I guess, hot and passionate at your house, red roses. I guess because candy, people like receiving candy. Women do. They like receiving candy. But I guess maybe there's an issue of, they may eat too much and gain weight or something, so it may not have the same significance. But red roses. So in turn, that's what women want. But what would you say would be a great compliment to that for the guy, since they may not care so much about flowers? So what would you say men would enjoy receiving?
Good question.
Uh-huh.
Because generally, it seems like the gift giving always seems to be a little bit more men giving the gift.
Yes, that's true.
As opposed to men receiving, you know, the gift. But I think in terms of material things, there are a lot of material things that could be given, you know, to men that I think a man would enjoy,
Okay, well, I want you to keep that thought. And when we come back from the break, then you can tell us what those things are.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks.
So many things I've got to tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how. Cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. Cause love, so many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. To know you, longing for your kiss, for your kiss, touch, for your touch, feel, for your presence. Your feet, you many nights I've cried from the things you do, felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.
Wow. I love that song. Music Soul Child. Love. Yeah. Wow. Well, before we went to break, we were talking about something that equates to roses in terms of giving a gift of love to the man that you love. And you were going to make some hot suggestions. So.
Yeah, I think, Carolyn, that, you know, on the front side, I would be quick to say that a man, you know, would want material things and romance.
Okay.
But most men will agree that's what they want. But beyond that, the most precious gift that we can give each other is our time. That's what Rick Warden talks about this in the Purpose Driven Life book. And mm-hmm. So this is not original. This is his thought.
Okay.
But I apply it. I'm going to apply it to the relationship, that the most, and he does essentially the same, but the most precious gift we have is our time. Because mm-hmm. once you give it, you can't take it back.
Yes.
And so, yes, you can give a man romance. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can give him material things like a watch or a bracelet or a tie or some other material gadget.
Okay.
And that's going to work. Romance is going to work.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, what I think from my experience and from my own personal journey is what, and just in the context that we're operating in this time period, that if you want to give a man a gift, give that man also positive affirmation. You okay. tell that man that you believe in him.
All right.
You tell that man that you not only love him, but you support him, and you are there for him to lift him up, to build him up, to make him feel good about who he is, mm-hmm. to make him feel good as a man in this society that we live in. Mm-hmm. I would challenge the man to do the same for the woman, to mm-hmm. build her up, to tell her she is, you know, your queen. Use positive language mm-hmm. because words last. Words have staying power. That's why we have to be careful in terms of what we say and how we say it. Because once you put a bad word out there, it's hard to take it back because okay. it's already in the atmosphere, polluting the atmosphere. So we've got to be intentional about what we say, how we say it, and when we say it.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond the romance and beyond the material things that we can give one another,
mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to feel like they're valued. Everybody wants to feel like they matter.
Right.
And so we have to be intentional about doing that, because sometimes we live in a society that says we don't matter. We go to work and sometimes we work with coworkers who put thumbs down on us, or we live in a community that isn't positive. And so the person who's closest to you has to be able to lift you up,
mm-hmm.
not just on Valentine's Day, but beyond Valentine's Day. The Love Bank, the good news about the Love Bank is that the Love Bank is open 24 hours a day. It's never closed.
Okay.
You can always make a deposit into the Love Bank. That's the good news.
All right.
And, so don't think that the Love Bank only opens up on Valentine's Day or the day before Valentine's Day or on a birthday or some other holiday. The Love Bank is open on rainy days,
uh-huh.
snow days, hot days. It's open all the time. You always have an opportunity to make a deposit into the Love Bank.
All right. Well, now that sounds good to me. And, you know, you're right. Earlier in the talk, you mentioned that women have like, what, 2,500 words that they say per day versus whatever the
amount is. Yeah, just throwing out kind of a number, a random number. But the point is that generally speaking, you know, a lot of researchers argue that during the course of a day, women use more words than guys.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, guys are pretty much done.
Yes.
About 6:30 or 7 o'clock, you get nothing but one word answers.
And, okay.
And the woman has a lot of conversation left. She's ready to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the man is tapped out. All he's got is, yeah, uh-huh, okay,
Uh-oh.
Sure. And that's all.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, you know, I would say this. I would agree with you then, not just for Valentine's Day, but all year long. Use those words that you have that are positive to lift your man up. And to build his confidence, and
yes.
to show that you support him, and to show that you understand
yes.
some of the things that he goes through, even though, you know, your challenges may be significant to you, that you understand that being a man is not easy. It's not automatic. He has challenges. And so I would agree, using your words to show your love and your support probably can really be beneficial to the Love Bank. I love that. And before we end the show, if you'd love to ask questions concerning the Love Bank and concerning love and Valentine's Day, please feel free to call us at area code 323-293-3375. Again, that's 323-293-3375, because we're here for you. And we want you to get Valentine's Day correct, and we want you to get love correct, as correct as possible. You know, it is. It's difficult sometimes being in love. It's a challenge. It's not a straight path, as Dr. James has pointed out. And since he's here and he's available, please feel free to call and ask or comment in any way you see fit. But I would agree that kind words just cannot. There's nothing like hearing them, both for the man and for the woman. So don't forget that to use your words and use them in a wonderful way is a good thing. And Valentine's Day, while that's good, you want to do that all the time. There's this notion out there by women, though, especially around Valentine's Day, that says, you know, well, I may not have anyone. I'm a little uncomfortable about the day approaching because I don't have a special guy in my life. But there's information that says, especially if you're in your 20s, that you shouldn't have that level of anxiety, because there is 119 men to every 100 women. Mm. So women, don't be afraid. Don't get anxious. Don't believe the hype, especially if you're in your 20s. Now, maybe that information may change a little bit, you know, as you get a little older. But if you're in your 20s, life is good. Take your time. Enjoy dating. You know, enjoy Valentine's Day. Don't just buy into the hype, because that's all it is. You know, trust that if you don't have a guy in your life this year, that has nothing to do with moving forward. Because as Dr. James said earlier, love will find a way.
That's right. That's
yes.
Right.
So.
Yeah, it certainly will. And, you know, I would say to your listeners, you know, you be safe, be careful, mm-hmm. or be safe. You can't be safe. Be careful, and if you can't be careful, don't do it.
Don't whatever do it. It, whatever that
whatever,
is.
Whatever that is. But yeah, and be optimistic. Be optimistic. Mm-hmm. And again, I want to go back to a point I made earlier: is don't let loneliness force you into a bad situation. You know.
Yes.
We all are guilty of doing that. Take care of yourself and really, really learn to love yourself. You got to fall in love with you before you're able to fall in love with someone else. That's very important. Be the best you can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes we have expectations for the person we desire or want in our life, but at the same time, we've got to look ourselves, you know, in the mirror and make adjustments as well, so that you can present the best you possibly can present mm-hmm. to a potential mate. It's nonsense and foolish to want someone to be a certain way and then you not, you know, have yourself together.
Yes.
That relationship is not going to have staying power, because eventually you'll be exposed. If it doesn't come out in the wash, it'll come out in the rinse. So you want to be able to present the best you can possibly present to a potential mate. And when you're able to do that, then you're setting yourself up for success.
Yes. Well, I totally agree with that. And the other part that I would add to this conversation is it's okay to not be absolutely positive and sure about some things sometimes. I know, you know, sure. We want definite answers to situations almost always. And there's nothing wrong with wanting definite answers, but take your time. Don't rush the process of love. Allow it to grow and allow it to develop, because you know, as you said, you can't let the fear that's associated with love rule your life. You have to trust that there is someone for you, especially if you don't have someone in your life currently. You have to trust that there's someone for you, someone who can be of great benefit in your life, and that's for males and females. That's not just for the woman, and because sometimes men do get a little anxious about, you know, not having a pretty girl on their arms or whatever, and so it's good to relax and take your time, and make yourself available emotionally, but without all of the added stress of there's a time factor that this must happen in. Enjoy dating, especially if you're a young person. Enjoy dating. Enjoy finding out about someone. Take your time, and don't let the hype of all of this rule you. I guess that's the way, the best way to look at it. Because while love is a wonderful feeling, there's some behavior that goes along with it that needs to match. And until you find that the behavior that accompany the feelings, then don't be in such a rush to believe what others are telling you that may or may not be true.
That's right.
Take your time and enjoy the process. And one of the things that I heard, I was talking to some guys today about their thoughts on love, and I was telling them, I said, you know, for Valentine's Day, you know, women get dressed up and they do all of these things. And they said to me, and I've heard this before, but they did verify that the sexiest thing that a woman can wear for Valentine's Day is her smile. Because men enjoy the smile of a woman who is, she is showing that she's happy, that she takes care of herself, that she's approachable. So I guess when we're dressing for the holiday, that's one of the things that we need to keep in mind, is to wear our smiles, because smiles do a lot in terms of the opposite sex. And if we want to really get their attention, that's one way to do so, because everybody likes to see a happy face.
That's
so
right.
In terms of getting ready for Valentine's Day, just keep your stress level down. And as the song that leads into the show says, and keep your head up, because love will find a way. And before you know it, you'll be sending out wedding announcements. And your friends will say, my goodness, what happened? Just remember.
Well, Cupid will be firing that arrow. And and if you treat love in a disrespectful way, if you abuse love and you're rude to love and you're mean to love, Cupid will demand his arrow back.
Oh, okay. So, well, and we don't want anybody to have to return their arrows. We don't want
right.
them. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
So we want to thank you for joining us for your wonderful thoughts about love, Dr. James. We look forward to hearing more about the Love Bank. And we look forward to next week, when you'll probably tell us more about love, faith, and honor.
Absolutely. Carol. Carolyn, a great show. And once again, always a pleasure to work with you and discuss important issues such as race and love.
All right. Thank you so much. And good night.
Good night. Head up.